another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Thanks for joining me today. Tonight we have Stefan of the Shulam Soul Experience based in Amsterdam joining us. So get ready for some really terrific healing, mental, emotional, and physical. This shaman is definitely powerful, and it must be the reason why he is so well known in Europe and the Mediterranean. But before we talk to Stefan, I want to give a warm big shout out to my friend Raza Ilahi in Peshawar, Pakistan. We were able to connect through Skype, and it was so incredible talking to him. We talked about everyday stuff, and I began to see Raza as being very similar to myself. For instance, he and his father have a paper distribution and wholesale business where he sells offset and art paper. And they do okay, as he stated. Raza has been married only 3 years, and he has a healthy, energetic, 5-month-old son named Aman. He started talking about how he became involved in the Law of Attraction through Wayne Dyer and many more. I was, of course, thrilled to hear Dr. Dyer's books made it over to the Middle East. We talked about the safety of Peshawar because of the recent bombings from the U.S. drones. Raza stated it's pretty safe now because the bombings had occurred outside of the city. Of course, this still makes him a bit insecure, especially since the birth of his son. Is the war winding down or is it winding up? Is there going to be more bombings? All of this has him a little bit of anxiety for the safety of his son. His desire for his son is to grow up with the security of knowing no wars, no bombs, and to be successful and abundant. Isn't that just what we all want for our kids? Raza stated to me that the wars are due to politics and not the people. His country's citizens want peace. And we talked about so many other things, such as how he is a Muslim. We talked of burqas and how Islam feels towards women. And then we talked about how the Catholic religion feels towards women. Surprisingly, it's very similar. And we talked about how the media and the politics distorts what is really going on. He asked me about the racial discrimination in the U.S. I answered, I didn't think it was as bad as the media tends to have people think. Then I asked him about the stoning of women. He said, yes, it does happen, but it's extremely rare, and it is only with the hardcore religious Muslims. Then Raza said to me, the Christian faith and the Muslim faith are so very similar, but yet the media chooses to focus on the extreme and rare stuff as opposed to the everyday living where we focus on peace and well-being. I asked Raza, well, does your wife wear a burqa? He laughed and he said, no, but she does have a cloth on her hair as part of tradition. And then he told me something very fascinating that I didn't know. He said that the burqas didn't come to be until after Russia invaded Afghanistan. Before that, it was normal for the Pakistani people to cross the border into Afghanistan to have fun for the weekend. It was then that the women wore Western clothing and makeup. Well, I was amazed. Raza goes on to state that the Quran says that no harm should come to anyone, just as the Bible states. And amazingly, The Christian and the Muslim religions are so similar in that they believe in the same God and the same angels. And even more important, all seven major religions believe in the same God and the same angels. But I ask you, my listening audience, how many times have you heard something different from the media? Last week, I went to lunch with a dear friend who stated to me that all Muslims are evil. And I said, that can't possibly be true. But she listens to the media 24/7. And she is basing all of her knowledge on what the media states. I so love these conversations with Raza because I have discovered that he is the most kind and gentle soul. We can talk about Japan and how we all need to send loving energy and strength to their people to overcome this tragedy. And we both agree that instead of spending money on weapons and bombs, wouldn't it be better to send aid to Japan? If something happened like that to us, wouldn't we want the aid to come to us instead of killing others? These Skype calls are so profound for me and so enlightening, and ones that I will never cease to forget. Here, Raza lives on the other side of the world, and we talk as friends, as if we live next door to each other. There is no difference between his wants and desires or my wants and desires. He wants his wife and sons and friends and family safe and prosperous. He wants peace in the world. When you listen to the news, please understand you're not getting the full story. When you listen to politics, you need to understand you're definitely not getting the full story. When you go directly to the source, to the people that we are wondering about, then you will be getting the full and complete story. You will see that truly we are all the same, we are all connected, and we are all one. A great unity is taking place upon this planet right now, and I have an idea. For you to truly understand what's going on in the world, why not connect to somebody in another country and ask them the tough and difficult questions so that you can hear their side of the story, understand where they're coming from, and then sit back and be amazed because you will see that they're not as radical as they were made out to be. You will find others who think and match to your vibration. If you want peace in this world, then I urge you to take a leap forward to bond with someone from another country. Reach out and touch someone, as you will definitely change the world as we know it today. So thanks, Raza. I look forward to our next conversation. And now, let's listen to a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Stefan. Here's the most incredible singles cruise ever. That's right. Law of Attraction Radio Network with SpiritualSingles.com and MatchMatrix.com is putting on the most incredible cruise full of fun and romance. No matter your age, size, ethnicity, or whether you're single or in a long-term relationship, join us to spark up your love life. Our four-night cruise starts on Thursday, October 27th. We set sail from Miami to Key West to Cozumel. Join our relationship experts, tantra experts, love angel communicator, energy healer, and our very own laughing yoga, who will be assisting you in making this the best adventure of your life into love. Rates start off at $5.99, which includes all of the workshops. There are balcony cabins still available, but you must sign up immediately. Rates will go up dramatically after March 28th. Don't wait. Sign up with your $150 refundable deposit and book your cabin now. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to bring your costume for a wonderful evening of fun. Go to loaradionetwork.com and don't forget to tell us who referred you. We'll see you on board. Welcome back. You are listening to Jewels on Law of Attraction Talk Radio on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Thanks for coming back. You know, you still have time to register for the cruise. The same rates were extended until April 11th. Did you know that the cruise is going to Cozumel on October 27th? Well, Cozumel is Mayan country, and October 28th is the real end of the Mayan calendar. I just had a fabulous interview with Carl Coleman, the scientist who has the most knowledge of the Mayan calendar. He is so envious of us being on the water and on our way to Cozumel on October 28th. Yes, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime cruise. It's going to be magical. It's going to be unifying. It's going to be pure love. You need to be on it. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com. Find the cruise page and sign up. And please realize, final payment is not due until August 27th. Okay, are you ready for some more fabulous healing? Well, I want to introduce you to Shaman Stefan of Shuam Soul Experience. As a Shuam healer who lives in Amsterdam, Stefan has many thousands of healing sessions and teaches Shuam soul healing for more than 10 years. He specializes in making use of higher states of consciousness for healing and transformation and lets his listeners share in this experience. With lively talks and healing rituals, he invites you to experience your connection to each other, and where you can make dramatic changes mentally, physically, and emotionally in a very, very short period of time. Shuaman healing is an effective, practical, and elegant approach to create harmony and find inner strength and peace. It makes use of shamanism, the most ancient way of healing, transformation, and spirituality known to mankind. Now, Stefan airs his show every Saturday on the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and it's always great to listen to his healings right before you go to bed or right while you're at lunch or anytime you're taking a break. It's always good to listen with your headphones to get the full effect of the healing. Welcome, Stefan, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jules. Nice to be on your show.
You're living in Amsterdam, right?
Well, I lived there for 25 years, and I live just outside Amsterdam in the Lake District. Extremely beautiful, I'm saying. For Dutch measures, you know, we don't have much nature, but it's very beautiful here.
Wonderful. So you're out there enjoying the nature as well, huh?
Uh-huh. Definitely, yeah.
Now, we know that you started your healing practice as a shaman in 1998, but what happened before that to bring you into the shaman training?
Well, the funny thing is I have never had any interest in shamanism before.
Hmm.
It just came in my life, and well, it was exactly the thing I needed. I say this in retrospect, of course. And, it's funny. I was not interested. And, you know, you can open the door for other people. It's also what I do now for other people. And the door flew open, and it was immediate for you. It was, everything was done within a few days. And if I look back now, I think, for this sort of work, you need a certain opening within your consciousness. And that's it's a gift or whatever you want to call that. But before I found this, it was just creating havoc in my life. It was just, it was creating a lot of confusion. Because in general, I feel what other people feel. And what I experience, the way they experience, something like that. And what aware of that you cannot handle that, I must say that's very confusing.
And so out of your inner turmoil, you discovered that there was a better way.
Well, the way opened itself, as a matter of fact. Because I just went there, you know, I went to this man out of sort of interest. I heard something about shamanism. So, okay, let's check it out one day, you know. Yeah, and I came there and I was sold in one go. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been very powerful then.
Well, the experience itself, that was funny because that's what you would think, that you would be the first time because you're swept away off your feet, but that was not the case at all. I had a very, I must say, so-so experience. And I remember I was going home, but I was intrigued in a way. I don't know. There was something to it. I couldn't say what, but there was something to it.
So could it be your life's mission then?
Yeah, well, it definitely feels like that. It's also in this first week that these things happened. I had a lot of visions about, mainly about how things would develop. And I must say, yes, this was exactly meant to be. And everything that I saw in these visions exactly worked out that way, to my own surprise also, of course.
So let's give more information about shamanism for my listeners who may not be familiar with it. What is shamanism?
Well, I can only tell you what it is for me.
Okay.
I can only speak from my own experience, but I think shamanism is a way to direct your energy in different fields in which you participate. That sounds too technical, but the thing is, normally you're always caught up in your involvement in the world, in your emotional involvement, mental involvement, social involvement. And as a shaman, you can also be in a different space, and because different space, you have totally different possibilities. And to give a silly example, like you cannot fly in your daily life, but you can fly in your sleeping time, for instance. So it has different layers, have different possibilities. And as a shaman, I think you can switch very quickly between one state and the other state. And that's exactly the power of it. Because what you do or what I do in all this work is what you aim for is to let your client or the listener or whoever is coming, you try to let them share within this very high state. Through my development, and God may know why, I have this thing. And it's available through me. And what I aim to do is also with the drumming and what you hear, it's more the opening of the client so they can share within this state. I also can do it in silence. The only thing is, yeah, people are so, their attention is so unruly that they get bored. So you have to keep the attention, you have to capture the attention, and then you can lead the attention towards this higher state.
And this is why you have such a unique way of doing this meditation, healing, or ritual, because it is unique. I've never heard it before. But it's like people are focusing in on all these different sounds, and they're unexpected, so that it totally keeps you away from your day-to-day mindset. Is that what is going on?
Well, also, of course, it goes on many levels at the same time, because the thing is, I try to let you share my state. The sound has, as a matter of fact, nothing to do with it. It's just I have to do something in order to steer your direction, your attention. So it's not a sound healing, it's sharing in a state, and the state does not depend on sound or on something I do, it's just something that there is.
Okay, so you're sending everyone energy so that people can share in on your experience.
Yeah, sort of. I try to open consciousness, because that's also what I said in these shows, is everybody's locked up within his own mind, within his own experience, and mainly this internal psychological experience. And I noticed as soon as you get out of the way, or a little bit to the side, a completely different opening is there within you. It's here right now, which everybody's too busy with, you know, what he thinks, what he feels, his opinions.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see these things. These things are not far away. Can't be far away because it's you. It's you on a different level. Only thing is, we get so caught up in the things that you're not aware of it. There's so much distraction all the time. Yeah, and not only on the outside. I think the main distraction is on the inside. This is psychological consideration we have all the time for what everything is and what it means and what you should do. And yeah, I think that's consuming most of our attention.
What can the listener expect when they listen to your rituals or your healing meditations?
Well, what you in general can expect is that during this ritual, a lot of negativity gets transformed.
Ooh.
Yeah, by itself. You do not have to do anything for that. It goes by itself. And towards the end of the ritual, just about everybody will experience much more peace within themselves. You will be much more quiet. Yeah, harmonious. So that's what you can expect. And you could say from the beginning to the end, what can you expect during the ritual? You know, it doesn't have to be spectacular things. It can be, but it's not the point of the ritual. The ritual is not to give you a spectacular experience. No, the point of the ritual is to pull you in this very peaceful space within yourself.
Can you listen to the same recording and will it have the same effect?
Well, I think every time you listen... is different, of course, because you are different and everything is different.
Oh, good point.
And ideal, that's the way I do it here in Europe. It's time-wise a bit easier than for the US. Yeah, it's all life, and because it's life, because it's expression. What you hear is an expression of the moment and the people sharing with it. So the interaction, the whole thing, the whole moment, with everybody and everything connected to it. Expression of that moment, and of course tomorrow is another moment. Still, these sessions have a strong energetic charge, so you will benefit from that anyway. I know, and I noticed because I hear in Europe I have these sort of subscriptions. It's a longer session. I do this 3 times a week, and I know from people who tune in regularly, for instance, once or twice a week. You know, your whole life becomes much more balanced. You don't work yourself up that much on the inside. You know, why bother? Because most things, you better not bother anyway.
Yeah.
So it gives you, on a subconscious level, I would say, it gives you a much more tranquil basis so that you don't act out things so much. And that's mainly in repetition. And that's also in well, I teach for a long time, and I noticed, you know, you can only teach people in one way, and that's repetition. Everything is repetition.
Mm, that's a very good point.
Yeah, it is. We learn through repetition. And for instance, when people, my feelings here in my practice, I always tell people, come 3 times. Usually it happens the first time. That's what has to happen. But I tell them, you come 3 times. It's a reasonable sort of expectation. Because the first time you come here, and I think when people go to a healer, they are stuck in their story, and they want to get rid of their story because it's a painful story.
Right.
Well, you come to me, and then you are there with all your story, and this guy is going to do something about it. So do I feel something? Is it still there? What is he doing? And for me, in order to to take the story away, you know, you have to get off your story. That's what the ritual is for. That's what I meant also before. That's what the ritual is for. And I noticed, you know, the people, the first time they come, some people go like, oh, what's happening? And do I feel something? So they're very tense, you could say. And you notice when they come the second time, you know, they know it's all right. They know they will feel fine and it's not scary and it's not hurting them. It's doing them well. And a lot of negativity already has been transformed. And you see they're much more... The healing, I can make a much deeper rapport. I don't know whether that's English. I can make a much deeper connection with the client because he's more relaxed. And you see a third time, in general, clients forget they are here. They get some sleep. So that means they're not on their story anymore.
Ah.
Now, when you're not identified with your story, I can take your story away because it's just a story. But as long as you're, because the whole thing in this, it is everything what we do is about identity. What do you experience as I? And as long as you experience your I in this construct of who you are, and I am John, and I am married, I have four kids, and I have all these psychological characteristics, and I do like this, I don't like it. Yeah, you're bound to it. You're bound to this image you're identified with. Because I found in my practice there's nothing broken in people. And I get people in very bad shapes, don't get me wrong. I get them in very bad shapes. And they experience life is broken, their emotional life is broken, or anything is broken. But if I look from an energetic point of view, there's nothing broken at all. You know, there is this notion somewhere that something is wrong with you, and that grew out of hand. Because you invested all this energy in it. And every time if I look through blue glasses, you know, my whole world is blue. Mm-hmm. So if you look through a painful, say, image or notion, it's more or less the same. Yeah, of course, I perceive pain in the world. When you're angry, everybody is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that acknowledges the fact that you are angry, so you get into the circle. But it's only a matter of identification, because all this energy flows into this notion, or you could say this inner image, which gets blown up out of proportion, because as a matter of fact, there is some pain in you. And it grew so big that it fills your whole perception. Your whole life is pain. So what I do as a healer, I take over this pain. And pain, or let's say emotion, is the biggest carrier of life force, of energy. So when I absorb this pain, I take over complaints from people, I take over your pain, this very deep, essential pain. And then this whole, the energy flow, you know, drops out of the picture, and the whole picture deflates. First it inflated, and now it deflates. And then it's just a mental image, like you have thousands of millions within you. You see, and so things, you cannot heal somebody, you can harmonize somebody.
Mm.
So you bring things back within proportion. And it all has to do with attention, because what you give attention unfolds within your. You can observe that non-stop within your life. So giving attention to your problems, I think, will give you a lot of problems.
Yes.
Yes, of course. And what is the Western way of dealing with these things? You know, we love our problems. See how much we investigate in it. Of course you don't get rid of them. Of course not. You know, it's the wrong way around. That's why it's, you know, I get people in my practice, they've been in therapy for 10 years, and maybe with a good therapist even, and they know exactly what's wrong, even know the color of Papa's socks when he was beating them. But they still feel like that. They still feel miserable. They still have this pain, although they know it's this and this, and they can frame it and mental reframe it and all these nice techniques. It doesn't change your feeling,
because they're still living it.
No, it's still there.
Yeah.
You cannot change your feeling with words. Just tell yourself when you're angry, you know, rationally, you're not angry. You know, you will feel angry. And that will look at the moment and not express this anger. You have to hold it in. Because mentally, you know, oh, I cannot do this. I am in this social situation. Well, in general, everything within your attitude, within you say, will express this suppressed anger. You cannot, you know, feeling is stronger than thought. So you cannot solve a problem in feeling with thought. No, of course not. So feeling is much deeper. Mm-hmm. So you have to change that in the field, what you call the field of soul, field of feelings. Or in the field of intent, or belief, or trust, that sort of thing. And that's even much higher level, which you cannot even approach consciously, directly.
Oh, wow. That's really profound. Now, in your show, you take the first 20 or 30 minutes and you have thoughts that you put out, and they're so profound. I was just loving every single one, and especially last week, because you were talking about death and dying. And you said something so magnificent. It was something like, if you are miserable and unhappy when you die, why would you think it'd be different after you die?
Yeah, there's a childish notion.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, but we believe this shit. But it's really true. Look at your own belief systems. Look at the belief systems at the people. And that's even people who read the spiritual books and blah, blah, blah. Look at what they really believe, and that's what you see. And that's a sad thing.
It is.
Yeah. And that's also what I often think is with all these spiritual books and things. It gives you completely the wrong idea.
Now, that's what you were saying in last week's show as well, is that the way Western culture think about funerals, it's focusing on the pain of those who are living instead of cutting the ties of the person who died.
Yes, of course.
Could you go into that a little bit more? Because, again, this is incredibly profound and something I've never heard before.
Oh, well, I think the crazy thing is in the world, we in the West think we are the norm, that our norm, is it English norm? That our thing is the thing of the world. No, it's not true. 90% of the world live in a completely different mind and feelings frame as we do. They think other things are important. Only we have the thing that we know best. Because if you look in just about every little bit traditional culture, what you see is that they do all sort of things to give the departed one the feeling. As I said, they walk you to the churchyard on the left way, and they take home another way in the hope that you can't find the way back. They talk bad about you. Why? Not because they love you or don't love you. Of course they love you. But the thing is, you know, the fact is just a fact. It has nothing to do with feelings. It's a fact that you're dead. I think you can only be happy if you learn to live with facts. And if this connection with the living still exists, you can get very unhealthy things. And like I said in the last talk, I had this client from 55 years old. He couldn't find a girl because his departed mother didn't approve of any. So I think that's not so wise to keep that going, because if you die, I think if you ever seen a corpse, it's very clear that the material existence and the existence within our world, what we call our world, let's drop to person. Straight after that, mind goes. And mind is all your nice notions about, you know, past life and heaven and hell and all these concepts you read in the books, and doesn't mean anything for you on the inside. So where you end up in is soul, is feelings. Because, you know, if you look at your life, you can clearly see your whole life. And everything within your life, you can put in one of these four categories. It's either matter, it's thought, it's feeling, or it is intention. So when the first two fall away, what you're left with is the other two. And the first one you meet is soul. So if you have strong attachments within soul, you know, there's only soul perception for you, because mind is not there anymore to justify and to rationalize everything that you perceive. There's no more world for you to distract you, for to give you your feelings new impulses. No, the only thing that's left is the feeling as it is. So, you know, and that's also, if you look, I think somewhere deep down, everybody knows what's right. You know damned well what's right. Somewhere deep down, and not with your mind, but with your heart. You know really well when you're honest and when you're not honest. For instance, I know. I know everybody knows that. You do not also want to listen to that. But at the moment you die, you don't have your mind anymore to rationalize that you deserve $100 million because you're a banker and 47 million people are on food stamps. You can rationalize that for yourself and make it okay for yourself. But that's the part that drops away. So what you're left with is this feeling like, okay, this is not okay. And that will be your only reality. So that's why what we try to do in this, we call them death wakes, is we try to dissolve soul impressions. We try to dissolve these attachments from people who are still stuck. So you can be attached to, you cannot let go of your wife, of your family, of your business. And these are human things, don't get me wrong. This is very human. But you're captured in that, and as long as you're captured within this feeling, all that energy that you put into this feeling, yeah, it has to run out. And that's why they say, you know, you come in hell and burn eternal or whatever, you know, it's all based on the same idea, of course, because you end up in your own hell. Most people I see live in hell, and, you know, emotional, it's only when you have all this distraction, but if you really look at, you know, how many people feel on the inside, it's a very, very, very sad state. So, and that's, I think, you know, that's what you will meet if you, yeah, if you do this.
And using your rituals, we can release all the negativity so that we do start to feel happier, more harmonious, and then we're not going to take it with us.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. It's not, you have it in a bigger and smaller sense, but of course, that's the basic idea. What I try to do is to dissolve this attachment. Because what is your involvement with these thoughts, with these opinions? It's attachment. Mm-hmm. You're captured with it. Your identity is attached to this certain notion. That's what you call attachment. That's why it becomes your reality. So what you're trying to do is to do this identity, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then, if that works fine, you can have the, also during the sessions you might experience that you are just being. Right now, this moment, you know, you're always just being. This being is very open, peaceful, harmonious state. Only we get interested in the content. Yeah, and the content goes from left to right and from bang to bang, bang, bang. And it captures you and it draws you into that drama and then it becomes your reality. And then, oh, well, no, then the whole and the whole thing is running, of course. So what we aim for in this work is to disarm. And the more, you know, the deeper level you identify, what a word, by the way. the more free you are.
Yeah, I see that.
So that's the basic idea. So what you said, what can you expect from the rituals? Well, I know from, if you repeat them, I know you will make less attachments. You will be less attached. Your life will not be perfect. No, of course not. But you will notice that you are not so swept away anymore by drama, by your inner drama. And I think that's, I think that's a nice...
Oh, that's more than nice. That's wonderful. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That is absolutely, that's what everybody wants, really, truly.
Yes, and you know, it's, in a way, it's within your reach. Mm-hmm. Also, without my help, or it's within your reach. The only thing is, you know, are you interested in evident? That's the question.
Yeah.
Because as long as we are interested in the nonsense, we might end up with a life full of nonsense, isn't it? You will see is when these deep wounds, so to speak, are healed, all this compensation we do, all this shopping, reading, TV, porn, iPods, iPads, all this compensation, it's all compensation for a deep feeling of not being connected. It's a deep wound down there. And as long as this hunger is here, it will steer your life.
Wow.
And that's what you try to get to solve in this form of healing.
This is wonderful. We are going to be playing your ritual following this interview just to give everybody an idea. And I want to send all the listeners to go listen to your show because each week there is more profound insight that everybody must hear. And Stefan says it so eloquently. I also want people to go and visit Stefan at his website and where you could take part in more deeper healing. How do we find that, Stefan?
Me, of course, on your website. and you can find the address of my website. It gets mentioned every time in the show, and that is Shuam Soul Experience. And Shuam is spelled S-H-U-E-M, M from Maria. So S-H-U-E-M, soulexperience.com.
Can I ask you, what does Shuam mean?
It's a name.
It's just a name.
Let's say it's
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the easier, otherwise I get into all these technical things.
Okay.
You know, the cause of your problems is always, the deepest cause is always within your unconscious. So you might have had a healing during this interview without you noticing it.
Wow.
So the thing is, the what you experience in daily life are the consequences of that attitude.
Oh.
Because the core of your deepest the deepest cause of your problems is within you. In general, that happens within very early youth. And as a kid, when you're very young, you know, you don't have your mind. So you cannot rationalize and say, okay, you know, Papa is always sweet and today he's hitting me. You cannot say, okay, maybe he had a bad day at work or he has, you know, quarrels with Mama or whatever. So you cannot rationalize. You cannot place that within your worldview. But 2 minutes later, you have to sit at the table with Papa and you have to have your potatoes and your steak and you have to behave and act as if nothing happens because life went on. But this pain is still there. If that is a silly example, of course, but as long as this pain is there, it's coloring your entire view. And this very, very deepest pain, which is the drive behind everything you do, to tell you the truth, between really every single thing you do. And at the meantime, what you try to do is to avoid, you try everything to avoid that feeling. So it's a sort of double lock. And that's the power of shamanism, because a shaman, you know, it's, I don't approach my client in a conscious way. No, I go deep within my own. And subconscious is, if you go deep enough, it's not personal. It's what do you call it? Transpersonal. Which means that there is no you or me. And then I can change it. I can change the and that's also the level where the cause of the problem is. So I can change the problem within your subconscious. And then within the weeks after that, you will see that the solution is slowly rising within your consciousness. You will notice that you start, to your own big surprise, that's a very important part of it, to your own big surprise, you will react in a different way. You will feel different. I have this experience myself, but I wasn't getting angry, you know, I had to laugh, to my own surprise. And that's very important, because the change has to be very deep within the unconscious. And with all these therapeutical things we do, and it's not deep enough, because you are still there. And so, which means it's not deep, and the cause is very deep. So you need a different approach in order to...
We be thinking we just let our mind go blank while we're in that ritual?
Yeah. The best thing you can do is just, as I said, sit down or lay closed, because it's an inner experience. If you're browsing the internet, you miss the fun. Meanwhile, so just close your eyes. Don't expect anything. Don't start thinking about it. Don't compare it with other things or say, oh, it's less like yoga or whatever. Don't compare it. Just try to be open. And you will notice that this ritual will take you somewhere. It's like a flow. You just have to go with flow, so to speak.
Okay. And while this is happening, then our negativity is being transformed.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you experienced it as well. You listen to
absolutely
it.
I listen to it. You can feel it. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. It's a great experience, very relaxing, and I can see listening to it over and over, you can really release all of that stuff and become much more calmer. Well, thank you so much. I know that you have to run because you have a very busy schedule, but I am so honored that you could take the time and come onto the show and explain a little bit more, because I know all of the listeners at the Law of Attraction Radio Network are going to fall in love with you.
Well, they better fall in love with the energy than with me, please.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. It was my pleasure.
And now I'd like to introduce you to the Shum Soul Experience Ritual.
Okay.
Please visit our website at shumsoulexperience.com. Shum, S-H-U-E-M.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at Jules@LOARadionetwork.com.